Welcome to a special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Roxanne Emmerich, author of Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives, and I would like to welcome you to this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, an interview with Roxanne Emmerich, author of Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve superior results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag articles found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. In this special edition podcast, Roxanne Emmerich, President and CEO of the Emmerich Group, shares with us her insights on how to create a workplace that engages the hearts and minds of employees and customers, resulting in increased growth and higher profits. So now, without any further delay, let's get started. We are privileged to be joined by Roxanne Emmerich, author of Thank God It's Monday, How to Create a Workplace You and Your Customers Love, and President and CEO of the Emmerich Group. She is listed by Sales and Marketing Management Magazine as one of the 12 most requested speakers in the country for her ability to transform negative workplace performance and environments into bring-it-on, results-oriented cultures. Roxanne has been featured hundreds of times in leading publications on such topics as Leadership for Results, Employee Engagement for Bottom and Top Line Improvement, Profit-Rich Growth Strategies, and a multitude of other workplace breakthrough issues. Roxanne, welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Roxanne, I've been looking forward to our conversation now for several weeks, having received and read your book, Thank God It's Monday. I love the books. Our audience is in for a real treat. But to start out with, I have to admit, when I first saw the title, I thought, wow, a Thank God It's Monday workplace. That kind of sounds a little mythical, magical kind of place to me. So to start out with, to ground our audience, would you describe for us what you mean or how you define a Thank God It's Monday workplace, and then describe the qualities and the characteristics of such a workplace?
Thank you so much, Nathan. A Thank God It's Monday workplace is one where people are having fun because they're winning. And that's kind of a rare concept in these times, because people think that because there's a recession, that means that they have to not do well. And yet, many of our clients who, for instance, in the banking industry, when the banking industry is being slammed down, are having record quarters and record years. And so a Thank God It's Monday work environment is not just one that's about clown noses. It's one where people are winning financially and spiritually and having the time of their life while they come to work. And Nathan, I know that's hard to swallow.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe until you see it.
Well, and thinking of seeing it, are there any companies out there that our audience members might just go, oh, yeah, I recognize that company. And, yeah, those people seem to be very engaged and very – you know, very happy to be in that organization.
Absolutely. I think there's small companies like that, and there's a few large. I think it's harder for the large companies, but certainly not impossible. You know, what's interesting is that culture is the leading predictor of future growth and profitability, and so right. there's definitely that tie-in. And so we see a lot of the smaller companies, and many of the clients that we started working with, at the time we started working with them, they had abysmal relationships with their employees, and now they're winning, like, Best Employer in the State Awards. And so they're all over the place, but oftentimes they're not it's kind of, you have to walk in and you have to feel it and recognize it, and so they're not always the ones in the paper.
Yeah, I think so often in the newspaper we read about the companies that are at the other extreme.
That's true.
Folks are very unhappy.
Well, probably the best of companies that exemplify it, that are larger, that people know of, are like the Googles of the world, and Southwest Airlines certainly has some elements as well. And, you know, in every case, there's pockets when you get to larger companies. With smaller companies, sometimes you can have an entire company totally get it all the way through.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And when you mentioned Southwest Airlines, I've read an article once where the CEO of that company mentioned that the difference between his organization and others is that his employees run to meet the airplane.
Yes.
That they are truly engaged and looking forward to serving their clients and run out to meet the airplane and engage with the customer. And he says, you know, the bottom line result is they turn around airplanes faster.
And which is interesting, I just recently had one of those flights, and I hadn't been on a Southwest flight for years and years and years, but when I was on that flight, I thought, boy, what a different experience that they create. Now, I'll admit, I was in a middle seat, and that wasn't comfortable, and yet you put up with a lot when you have people who treat you with joy, and have joy in their heart, and have great intentionality about being a part of something good. And so, you know, that attitude is something that permeates the entire organization and definitely goes to the bottom line. You know, now they're not doing quite as well, but for 30 years they were the top performing stock in the country for over a 30-year period, according to Money Magazine a couple of years ago. You know, it definitely has a bottom line impact.
Oh, certainly. Well, and talking about those bottom line results and impacts, you do mention in Thank God It's Monday quite a number of the bottom line results that these companies have in and above their competitors. I was wondering if you could share what a couple examples of those would be. But then just to take us a step further, I would imagine that the individual work groups within those companies also see some sort of impact or visible result. And I was wondering if you could share some examples of those as well.
I'd be happy to, because I think the results do happen both on the financial and also on the spiritual level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, financially, I mean, we had a bank that we worked with that had pretty much tried everything and nothing was working. They had brought in all the strategic planners and did sales training, and they reorganized, and they tried lots of different things, and nothing seemed to get them where they needed to be.
Yeah.
They had never grown more than 2% a year for 10 years, and within 30 days of doing the kick butt kickoff explained in the Think That's Monday book, they had accomplished 35% annualized growth. But the good thing is, now they've been with us for, I think it's 6-7 years, they didn't stop there. They grew and they grew, and their profits just exploded. And so right now they're listed as one of the safest banks in their state and one of the most successful banks in their state. And, you know, and during good times they were struggling. So, you know, it really, you know, that level of consciousness changes everything.
Okay.
And to go with your next question was, you know, what does it look like with the work groups? It feels like people are winning. They're high-fiving, and they're not getting on each other because the other people have issues. So, you know, one of the things that we know for sure is that people have issues. If they don't have issues, they're usually not alive. And so in most organizations, people's issues so rub up against each other that they can't stand looking at each other. And they don't even make eye contact in some places. And in a Think It's Money work environment, we just kind of go, well, that person has issues, and I'm demanding what I need from them anyway, with respect and kindness and expecting them to move along, and I'm also high-fiving them when they do something right. So it's just a different mindset that basically says, hey, we get to accept each other's warts, and we push each other through them without getting all bent out of shape over them.
Yeah, and, you know, as you were talking or describing about that kind of work environment, I think, too, of all the time people spend, so non-productive time, complaining about the organization. And what a positive experience or in a more engaged and a more productive environment you can have if we could just set aside all that negativity.
Isn't that the truth? Most of us walk in on Monday morning and we walk by that certain person that feels kind of like an energy vampire.
Yeah.
just by walking by them, we get sucked dry.
Oh, yeah.
And it only takes one. You know, there's that old saying that a little bit of wine and some horse manure is not a problem, but a little bit of horse manure and some wine, big problem. And so it only takes one, and they bring down the energy of the entire group. And so what a wonderful place to be when people, you know, decide to not allow that stuff, and when people are being the energy vampire, for them to allow others to call them on that so they can stop and have it be okay to go, you're right, I've been a jerk, and I'll stop doing that now.
Sure, sure. Now, my next question kind of stems to these kind of workplaces. And I'm sure my listeners have all experienced these kind of workplaces, unfortunately. And I can say I've experienced it too, unfortunately. But with such tangible results, why do you see executives and managers resistant to, you know, just all of them pursuing the creation of this kind of engaging workplace?
I think the reason that they aren't doing it is they really don't believe it's possible and that it can stick. Okay. And yet now for the last 20 years, I've been showing it is possible. It can happen in a day. The turnaround only takes a day. And the research that we have is not only does it stick, but it accelerates from that point because there's a system that they can follow after they do that initial kick butt kickoff. So I think it's, you know, I think it borders on miraculous, so they don't even think it's possible until they've witnessed it. Most of our clients come as a referral from other clients because they're going to, you know, otherwise nobody really believes that what we do can work. And I tell my staff, gosh, we figured out the secret handshake here. We have to get this out there because we could stop a recession, and we could really get people emotionally healthy and economically shift what's going on in this country and even in the world by just getting this information out there.
Sure, and back to your banking example that you shared with us just a few minutes ago, it's actually a sustainable result. This isn't a flavor of the month. This is something that produces results year over year over year.
That's right. It's sustainable, Nathan, and it's also a huge bottom line issue. So, like right now, Gallup says that one out of every three payroll dollars is lost due to disengaged employees. Well, you take that down to the bottom line, and you're playing a whole different game. Because usually payroll is the largest expense most companies have. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge bottom line issue. And what's really interesting is the newest research that just came out shows that 71% of employees who are under age 30 intend to look for a new job when this recession is over, and over 60% of the rest of us. Well, hello.
Wow.
When you have that kind of thing going on, I don't know where they think they're going, if they think it's really better someplace else, because people don't understand they have to fix what they're in. That you can go someplace else, but it's out of the frying pan into the fire. Because, you know, the reality is that most organizations are so dysfunctional, and that's why they're not bringing it to the bottom line.
Okay. Well, Roxanne, talking about fixing where they're in, I know we've talked about the kick butt kickoff. What steps would organizations' leaders take in order to create a thank God it's Monday work environment?
The steps they need to take is step number one is they need to, with their employees in hand, come up with a vision. We literally do this in the kickoff in 4 minutes. And I know this doesn't sound possible. It sounds bizarre. But in 4 minutes, we have the entire work team. We have everybody from the janitor to the CEO, if it's under 1,000 people. Otherwise, we break into smaller groups, all in the same room at the same time. And we work on creating the miracle together. And so I give them a process to come up with this vision. At the end of 4 minutes, we have them share their visions, and then they vote on which one they like the best, and they are literally standing on top of chairs, screaming, yelling. They're so excited about this, because what is missing in most organizations is a clear picture of an extraordinary result that tugs on their heart. And so we start there. Then from there, we have them get their employees to make agreements about how they'll treat the customers and agreements about how they'll treat each other. Which is kind of rare. People kind of get away with murder in the workplace, and so we're working on cleaning up the murder.
Okay. Now, just to probe one more step further, you talked about sustainability. Is there a sustainability step then that goes along?
Oh, yes, there are many sustainability steps. We have, for instance, Nathan, we have something called the Hoopla team. And so just this week we had a whole group of our Hoopla teams from all over the country came in for Hoopla team training. And we showed them how to make sure that they're constantly advancing the culture of the organization. So they got very clear strategies, and we kept emphasizing, guys, it's not about ice cream socials. This is a system of rollouts. It's a system of rollouts of customer service standards. It's a system of rollouts of values. It's a system of rollouts that gets reinforced. And there's other things like daily huddles and quarterly meetings that are all about celebration of the values, the results that you're getting, and how everything ties into the key drivers of the organization. So, I mean, I started off in banking, so this isn't about fluff. This is about bottom line.
Okay.
This isn't about goofy stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So even though it looks goofy, you know, and you have to get a little goofy these days to win people's hearts over. They want to have fun in the workplace, but it isn't about the goofiness. It's about the results and the system that creates the results.
Okay. Well, Roxanne, if I'm an organization leader and I want to undertake an effort to transform my work environment, is it possible, because let's say as a leader I believe in pilot programs, to pilot this with one of my business units or maybe one of my departments if maybe I'm a smaller organization, and not do it for the whole company just right out the gate?
Mm-hmm. I would recommend against doing a pilot, because what's so beautiful about this process is you engage everyone at the same time and with a real power. And so if you're just doing one unit, you know, you're not going to create any harm, but you're just losing a lot of time and a lot of momentum, because when you have an entire work team all walking in together the next day with this new set of understandings, when that happens, everything shifts so well and it sticks. If you just have one department working on it, what happens is they start being looked at by the other departments, and you've probably heard the story about the crabs trying to crawl out of the bucket or the barrel, and so when that one gets to the top, the rest are pulling that crab back in again.
Yes.
That's what happens.
Okay.
It's like, you're having fun, you're getting results, let us show you how miserable this is around here, and so let us pull you back down to reality, girlfriends. So it's about getting all that crud out of the way at the same time.
Okay. Well, this is kind of maybe a lead into my next question then, because I was going to ask, if say we have now one of those business unit managers or a department manager that's listening to our podcast, has read your book, and says, I want to do this, but doesn't have the support of their upper level organization. Is it possible for them to still create that thank God it's Monday environment for their own group? And if so, are there obstacles, or is this something that's going to be just a bit too challenging to overcome?
That's a great question, Nathan. I think that a middle manager can make a big difference. In fact, many middle managers, we call it the drip, drip, drip method, and I actually learned this from one of my clients. I had a client one time who would go to the CEO. She was the head of IT. And she'd go to the CEO every day, and she'd walk into his office, and she'd say, hey, when's Roxanne going to come in to help us? And he'd go, yeah, right, we're too busy, you gotta be kidding me. So she'd walk in the next day and she'd go, hey, when's Roxanne gonna help and do that? When are we gonna do that kickoff? And he'd go, yeah, right, whatever. Well, it was interesting because when I finally did come there, he showed this series of kind of cartoon kind of things with her words above her head, and his response to those about her being in every day into his office saying, when are we gonna do this? Well, story be told, A year after I started working with them, they were going to be going public, and they'd never been growing more than 13% a year. They wanted to have a lot of growth because they wanted to grow into this new capital that they had acquired. And
sure.
So within 1 year, they had grown 76% organic growth, real growth, without any acquisitions. And so this was a very happy woman who created this and was a very happy CEO. So I call it the drip, drip, drip. So I talked to managers about managing up. So you need to bring your exec team along. And the way to do that is to keep smiling and keep asking.
Okay.
But not to get ticked, because of course they never say yes the first time, but that doesn't mean you're taking no for an answer. Think of how your teenagers get things out of you, right?
Oh yeah.
They just keep after you. They don't stop.
Yes. Well, and I have one of those.
Yeah, so you know very well exactly how this works.
Well, yeah. And if I would say the only one that's more persistent than my teenager, it's my 4-year-old.
Oh yes, okay. Well, they're all practicing all that. So you know, but the other thing that Nathan, that someone could do is they can go to the thankgoditsmonday.com website, and I have an audio that I do every Monday morning that comes out. It's 1 to 2 minutes long, and we have work teams all over the world right now that are listening to this 1 minute. We hear all kinds of stories about the results people are getting from it, which are so fun to hear. But we're giving them solid information about things they can do right now to transform their work culture. And we ask the managers to listen to those with their teams all sitting and looking at each other and eyeballing each other. Because the magic is, at the end of it, they look at each other and they go, oh, we're not doing that, we should be doing that. And so it's real hard-hitting, solid, common sense information that's really hard to get someplace else. I don't know why somebody else hasn't thought of this one before, but I'm glad that now people have that access and it's free. So I encourage them to go to the thankgodsmoney.com site, and they can also buy the books, read them together, and work through the chapters together just to start getting some of the things in place.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to help there, because as part of the podcast that goes online and the article supporting it, we will put links to your website so that our listeners have just a quick one-click access to get there. Excellent. Well, Roxanne, just another question. So for those people who are or leadership teams who are going to embark on this journey, what is the one piece of advice that you would give them as they're starting out or moving forward?
Well, I would recommend, Nathan, that the one thing that they do, if they only had one thing, is first of all get agreements from people, but then do something that I call in the book, call it tight.
Okay.
And call it tight, essentially, is a process that we've been teaching our clients for many, many years. And what we're telling them is, listen, as managers, let's just get real here. You are the last ones to know when your people are up to funky stuff. Everybody else knows, but nobody wants to tell you, so you're the last one to know. And so the only way to have a sane work environment is to make sure that your employees understand it is their job to call tight dysfunctional behaviors. So if somebody's whining, they need to call somebody on. If somebody is gossiping, they need to call somebody on. If someone is giving excuses, they need to say, hey, no excuses, what are you going to do? How will you make this happen? And so that's the concept of calling it tight. And so to create a work environment where people can call it tight and make it safe to do just that.
Yeah. It sounds to me almost like what we're saying is that everyone is accountable for creating and maintaining our engaged work environment.
Everyone, exactly. And if you have one person who doesn't get it, then, you need to have a conversation with that person and really say to them, looks like this probably isn't a good fit for you. And so they can either opt in or opt out, but to let them continue and bog down the system is a big no-no.
Yeah, yeah. And people, I know they shy away sometimes, or my sense is they shy away from those conversations, but it's okay to have those conversations. You just have them in a very respectful way, but not everyone's a perfect fit for every organization.
Yeah, you really honor people with that conversation, and you don't have to be the manager to have that conversation. That's the beauty of this. You can be I'm just your friend, and you don't look happy here. And so in the book, I outline something, it's a four-step process called the conversation. And in the conversation, what you're doing is really confronting people in a way that says, I'm so excited about where this team is going, and it looks like you don't share that excitement, and that's okay, because maybe this isn't your thing. But if this isn't your thing, you've got to go find your thing. And so what you're really doing is you're saying, we must not be making you happy. It must be all of our fault. And of course it's not, but it gets the person thinking, well, no, maybe, I have left 16 jobs being miserable at each one of them, and this is my 14th spouse, and and it gets them understanding where the real misery lies.
Sure, sure. Well, Roxanne, before we close, you have a website, and you mentioned it before, but to give everyone the web address again, it's www.thankgoditsmonday.com. And you provide just a wealth of additional resources on the website that'll help executives and managers transform their work environment. And it also provides a preview to your book, Thank God It's Monday. Could you tell us a bit more about the website and the various resources folks will find there?
Absolutely. Well, on that website, they're going to find a blog, which has all kinds of different concepts that tie into this, from how to measure things and how to celebrate things and how to do things. And so that's a very extensive blog. Also, they'll find information on the Lead the Transformation seminar that I will be offering in October, where we teach, where we ask people, bring a team of people so you can go back and you can get that flywheel turning quickly. Because we'll show you soup to nuts how to go and transform your organization. And so there'll be information on that. There's information on our Permission to Be Extraordinary Summit, which I do only once a year, but it's my favorite thing in the world to do, where I take executives and I completely, I always say I take their brains, throw them against the wall, and then we rebuild from there. And so we rebuild the CEOs and the top executives to teach them a whole different way of leading. And we've had client for client who had said that it's the most powerful thing. It saved their marriages. It saved their businesses. And mm-hmm. so it's just a powerful way to just really transform how people understand how they do things on a daily basis. And then, of course, there's if people, if they're buying the books, they can still put in a receipt number and receive some free gifts on the ThankGodsMoney.com site as well, which are gifts from all of my friends who have blogs and audios and Jack Canfield and John Gray's and all kinds of people
sure.
from all over the world. And so there's actually worth thousands of dollars in value. And so people can also go up and get those gifts as well.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, Roxanne, I want to thank you not only for sharing your time, but your insights on creating a workplace environment that engages the minds and hearts of all of its employees. I thoroughly enjoyed your book, Thank God It's Monday, not just for the depth of insight, but also the illustrative business novel approach that you take in the book to present the concepts and methods. I know my audience has heard me talk about business novels before, and just that style makes everything appear to me in just a much more rich and fuller and easier to understand way that I can then take and apply it to my everyday life. So I really appreciated the book, and I do hope that our listeners will go out and get a copy for themselves. I hope that they'll pursue for themselves creating an organization that is truly engaging and motivating and a Thank God It's Workplace environment as well. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Nathan, and it's my hope that there will never be another workplace that ever has to have that problem. And so, and I think that's why the book's been maintaining the bestseller list, is because companies are buying this in bulk. It is time for that kind of a work environment to go away and for the Thank God It's Monday work environment to come in. So thank you so much for being a supporter of the cause.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. I would like to personally thank Roxanne Emmerich for being with us today and sharing her insights on creating a workplace environment that motivates and engages employees and customers. As always, we would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. You can find more information about Roxanne Emmerich and Thank God It's Monday at www.thankgoditsmonday.com. Until next time, so long.